We'll lead with a stark example of discrimination built into the economy. It's about the way we appraise homes. I'm David Brancaccio. There is new concrete data showing that houses in mainly white neighborhoods are appraised at twice the value of similar homes in places where most are people of color. This today from the Federal Housing Finance Agency. And as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports, the gap is growing.
This is not a new problem, but Elizabeth Corver Glenn at Washington University in St. Louis says it's getting worse fast.
Neighborhood racial inequality and market appraised values has increased dramatically over the past decade, especially during the pandemic.
In the last 2 years, the average home in white neighborhoods has appreciated by more than $130,000. Comparable homes in communities of color appreciated just $60,000 in that time.
It's a structural issue. It's an issue with how we are actually appraising.
Junia Howell at the University of Illinois Chicago says one of the main things appraisers look at is how much comparable homes in the neighborhood have sold for recently. And given the decades-long history of redlining and racism in the housing market, home prices in communities of color have long been undervalued.
What we see happening is that appraisers are way more likely to go under the offer rates in communities of color, and that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because they have to use previous sales to justify their costs.
Until the criteria for appraising homes changes, Howell says, this inequality is just going to keep getting worse. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Just over 7 hours from now, we'll hear how high interest rates move today. Markets are expecting an increase of 0.75 percentage point. Especially interesting will be to hear if Federal Reserve members are seeing any signs of cooling so they won't have to keep doing this. Ahead of the decision, the 10-year interest rate is steady now. S&P futures are a little changed, and NASDAQ futures are up 0.1%. After the demand surge and supply chain snarls, prices of new cars are coming down from their highs. Here's Marketplace's Lily Jamali.
Consumers paid an average of $45,600 for a new vehicle in October, according to an estimate from J.D. Power. That's down from more than $46,000 in July, which set a new record. Ivan Drury, director of insights at Edmunds.com, says an increase in inventory helps explain the moderation in prices.
Now that we have more availability on the market, you can actually get a car without having to wait, you know, nearly as long. We're not going to have as many people bidding on the exact same vehicles.
The reason prices haven't fallen more is that there's still a lot of demand. But that's changing too, as elevated prices now combine with higher interest rates, says Mike Ramsey, automotive analyst at Gartner.
It's actually pulling demand down because the affordability of cars has gotten so bad that it's taken people out of the market.
Which could lead to prices falling more than they have so far. And Ramsey notes that's the goal of raising interest rates in the first place. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
When you spend your days caring for your mom or dad, it doesn't count, at least in terms of the way we assess the economy using gross domestic product. No money changes hands for all that caring, so GDP simply ignores your efforts. And many other parts of the caring economy may register in GDP, but are undervalued. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been reviewing the data amid calls for reinvestments in helping others. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Let me hear your definition of the care economy.
It's a catchphrase, and it's commonly used, David, to capture both paid and unpaid work. You know, caring for children, for elders and others. And there's this cottage industry of scholars from multiple disciplines, and they argue that the care economy should be considered as vital to the country's infrastructure as more traditional investments like roads and bridges. And researchers have documented that a robust care infrastructure, it can promote greater labor force participation rates, especially among women, and therefore support broad-based economic growth. There is no shortage of economic studies documenting over the years that care work is valuable.
Valuable, yet in economic terms, not so much.
No, but don't you think the pandemic was a wake-up call? I mean, the experience showed how vital a robust care sector is to a well-functioning economy, especially the professional caregiving workforce. Professional caregivers, they enable tens of millions of family caregivers to go to work in their respective occupations. This is why caregivers are often referred to as the workforce behind the workforce.
And the market for this type of work is broken. I mean, it may be that a child care center to attract the talent they need would like to raise the price of the child care, but parents often just can't afford that.
No, they really can't afford it. And yet you're absolutely right, David. This is a low-wage occupation. You know, the jobs often don't come with benefits. The workforce is overwhelmingly women, women of color, and immigrants. And workers have been leaving caregiving with this tight labor market. I mean, they can do better at a fast food restaurant or a warehouse. And that is so sad because all this caregiving skill is going to waste.
So what? Policy, I guess, maybe.
I think so. I mean, the case is overwhelming. And a start could be caregiving tax credits and paid leave for family members, to higher pay and ladders of career advancement for professional caregivers. We need large investments in child care, in the home, community-based care for elders, and they will more than pay for themselves by making it easier for people to earn the paychecks they need, yet provide care for those who need it.
All right, an update on the care economy from Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Dow futures are down 0.2% now ahead of the interest rate decision today. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.